Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And today I am speaking to Pete Maniscalco. The station is LI News Radio, and I want to welcome everybody in who's listening. I've known Peter for a long time, and he's been an activist and an outspoken critic of what we're doing. The interesting thing about you, Pete, is that you seem to have some knowledge behind your critiques.
Yeah, in today's world, that's a bit of an oddity. So many people just create their own fantasy and create an alternative reality that they try to convince people is real.
Yeah. Now, but you're talking about, we talked about a lot of, between us, we talk about politics and the kind of things that are going on. Is that what you want to talk about today?
Well, I'd really like to talk about where we are with the energy issue.
Okay.
And how it's just a transformational moment. It's a beautiful moment in time. I've been working on this issue for 40 years, as you know. I was the coordinator of the Stop Shoreham campaign. I worked on other issues with regard to energy, one idea more ignorant than the next. And to me, the Caithness 2 proposal is probably the last and I hope the final ignorant proposal. And once we get beyond this, we'll have a renewable energy future.
Well, you know, renewable energy was one of my topics, too, for a long time, but probably not as long as you've been doing it. I started getting interested in renewable when they were building the nuclear plant. And I never protested the nuclear plant on the basis of the dangers of the nuclear. I protested it on the grounds that it was so ludicrously expensive and nobody was watching the money.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Part of my protesting with it was in 1982, I met two Navajo Indian medicine men, and they helped me spiritually to understand my relationship to everything in nature, in the natural world. And they educated me on how uranium mining basically takes place on their land. And it radiates the people, the fish, the sheep and goats, their shepherds, their crops, their children. They have five times higher leukemia rate. The mainstream media does not tell that story to
now
people.
You were not thinking, and if I was thinking about radiation outside the plant, that was minuscule. But you're talking about where it really hurt.
Well, yes, and no, nobody understands that part of the story. The Navajo people consider uranium mining a form of genocide against them because it kills so many people and their crops and their sheep. It's an absolute disgrace. If people understood nuclear power from the front end, we would not have nuclear power.
Now, who was doing the mining? It wasn't the Indians. It was...
Yes, it was. It was the Indians themselves. So many people, you know, died from lung diseases. When you dig uranium ore, you only have about 6 grams of usable uranium per every ton you dig. So there were these vast piles as high as the dunes on Long Island Sound of what they call tailings. And this is radioactive. And it's like dust. It blows in the wind. It blows all over the reservation. It's an absolute disgrace.
That's interesting. I never even heard that story.
Yeah, most people don't. And you're an informed person. So the average person doesn't know. It thinks nuclear power is safe. And that issue should be raised so that people understand exactly who's paying the price for it.
Unfortunately, because of our arguments of safety only relate to our own people, the people that are in our own circle. Those people don't count.
Exactly. You know, they're really not considered human beings. And it's an absolute disgrace. It's a form of genocide against those people.
You know, one of the things that I was impressed with about with Brando, he took on the plight of the American Indian. He understood it in the same terms that you do.
Yes. And if you ever, I mean, like I said, these two medicine men were so kind to me. And last year, I had the opportunity to spend a week there in their spiritual ceremonies. They invited me into those ceremonies.
Where was it held?
In Shiprock, New Mexico. There's this Northern Navajo Autumn Festival every year. And they do a sand painting healing, Ernie. And the sand painting is made in a small building called a hogan. And it's made with colored sand. And it's absolutely beautiful. It takes all day to make a sand painting. And at the end of the day, when it's made, they take the patient who has whatever the illness is, and the medicine man transfers the ugliness of the disease into the sand painting and takes the beauty of the sand painting and puts it into the patient. And beauty is as
when
medicine.
When you say sand painting, do they actually take different color sands?
Yes, exactly.
Like, what is it? One of them is obsidian?
Well, there are so many different, the desert, the Southwest desert was actually an ocean originally 20 million years ago. So there's all these different colored stones, you know, you have turquoise, you have coral, all these different colors, you know, ground into a powder. And believe me, these sand paintings are absolutely gorgeous.
And so how do they take...
Well, it's a medicine man, Ernie, please. It's a spiritual experience.
No, what I mean to say is, how do they separate these things that they're minuscule?
No, they're not minuscule. You could mine them. There's large areas.
Oh, you mean you can mine a whole color and without?
Yeah.
I thought there was just one big mess.
No.
Where they just had to take out the colors.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's very beautiful. And those traditions, you know, go back thousands of years. Those forms of healing. But it taught me something. I never thought of beauty as medicine. So that when we see the beauty of a flower or whatever it might be, to just take a moment to reflect on its beauty and feel it come into the body, into the mind, into the soul, you know, it taught me to meditate on beauty and use it as medicine in my life.
I want to tell you a little story. You remember Paul Townsend?
Sure.
Well, Paul Townsend and I were going over to the laboratory in Sands Point. We were going to have them test a boat hull for navigation over the Sound for making it into a large ferry. And we got out of the car, and it was raining out. And I started walking toward the building only to realize that he was no longer standing next to me. And I turned around, and he's standing by a garden where there was all these flowers. And you know Paul, he was a hard ass.
Yeah.
And I walked back and I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I was just admiring these flowers." He says, "They're so beautiful." Hmm. I grabbed his arm and I says, "It's raining." let's go. Oh, he goes, "Yeah, okay."
Yes.
And you know, people who are very, very purposeful and very educated in what they're doing, they sometimes really do appreciate the place around them, and he was one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the week he died, I went to visit him, and we kind of said goodbye because we knew we couldn't last long, and I probably would never see him again alive. So I went down to town in Bellport, and I bought a bouquet of flowers, and I had them sent over to the house. Hmm. And Terry called me. His wife called me when I got back to the house, and she said it was the nicest thing you could have done. She says it really made him happy, and I knew it would, you know. Hmm. But, you know, I don't consider myself a soft person, a person who appreciates things like you express yourself. But even I have been contaminated by the infected.
Well, appropriately so. Well, let me say, you know, when I was younger, you know, I was, you know, kind of a tough guy myself. But as I grew and started to have these experiences with Native people in particular, somehow I ran across them. They introduced me to a form of spirituality I never understood, that everything in nature has a spirit, and that if I were able to focus myself meditate on anything, you know, in the natural world that I could make a connection and harmonize with it. And actually, I used that during the Shoreham years. I never said it during the Shoreham years, but that helped guide my effort, asking the
earth. I think it would have taken away from your credibility if you made yourself, you know, if you told people what guided you.
The only person who understood was a reporter by the name of Paul Vitello.
I remember him.
I only spoke with him because Paul didn't make it out to be something foolish. He understood its power and wrote it in a way that the average person can hear it without saying, you know, that guy is really not sane.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was great. Great, great writer.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember anything he wrote, but I remember reading his columns, mm-hmm. you know? So, but we do meet people like that in our lives, and they augment it.
Well, not only that, they transform it. Yeah. This was so profound, it was a total transformation for me.
This is Ernie Fazio, and I'm talking to Peter Maniscalco. We'll be back in a minute. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're on LI News Radio. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.